go pe jana bala ba girivara da Yasodanandana bhajajana ranjana Yasodanandana bhajajana ranjana Yamuna tira vanajahari Yamuna tira vanna chahari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Ego pe jana bala ba girivara dhari Ego pe jana bala ba Yasodanandana bhajajana ranjana Yasodanandana bhajajana ranjana Yamuna tira vanachari Yamuna tira vanachari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Radha Madhava
Paramam Tripapa Jakacharya Satada Sata Shri Srimadi Divine Grace Eshi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Prem Tigo Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasudi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Ki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopinath Shyam Kundrada Kundgiri Govardhan Ki Shri Vrindavan Dham ki, Mayapur Navadip Dham ki, Ganga Mai ki, Jamuna Mai ki, Bhakti Devi ki, Srimati Tulsi Devi ki, Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Garantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaur Premanandi, all glories of some devotees, all glories of some devotees, all glories of some devotees, all glories Sri Guru and Sri Gananda, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you, Hari Prayana Prabhu. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. A little bit congestion today, so please bear with me here. Reading today from Canto 10, Chapter 29, Text 25. Dushilo Durbhago Vridho Dushilo Durbhago Vridho Jado rogya dano piva. Jado rogya dano piva. Patis vibirna hatavyo. Patis vibirna hatavyo. Loke loke shubir apatake. Loke shubir apatake. Dushilo durbhago vriddho. Jadorogi ado jadorogi adano piva. Patir sribir na hatavyo. Lokep shubir apataki. Dushilo durbhago vriddho. Jadorogi adano. Jadorogi adano piva. Batir sribir na hatavyo. Lokep shubir apataki. Please chant. Ladies. Vedanta Academy, you want to chant? Dushila of bad character. Durbhaga, unfortunate. Vridha, old. Jada, retarded. Rogi, sickly. Adana, poor. Apiva, even. Pati, the husband. Stribi, by women. Nahatavya, should not be rejected. Loka, a good destination in the next life. Ipshubi, who desire. Apataki, if he is not fallen. Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Women who desire a good destination in the next life should never abandon a husband who has not fallen from his religious standards, even if he is obnoxious, unfortunate, old, unintelligent, sickly, or poor. Please repeat. Women who desire a good destination in the next life should never abandon a husband who has not fallen from his religious standards, even if he is obnoxious, unfortunate, old, unintelligent, sickly, or poor. Purport. Srila Vishnava Chakravarti quotes a similar statement from Smriti Shastra, Patim Twa Apatitam Bhajit. One should serve a master who has not fallen. Sometimes a foolish argument is given that even if a husband falls down from spiritual principles, his wife should continue to follow him since he is her guru. In fact, since Krishna consciousness cannot be subordinated to any other religious principle, a guru who engages his follower in materialistic sinful activities loses his status as a guru. Srila Prabhupada stated that the system of monarchy collapsed in Europe because the monarchs abused and exploited their position. Similarly, in the Western world, men have abused and exploited women, and now there is a popular movement in which women reject the authority of their husbands. Ideally, men should be staunch in spiritual life and give pure, sincere guidance to the women under their care. The gopis, of course, being on the highest platform of spiritual perfection, were transcendental to all positive and negative religious considerations. In other words, they were the eternal lovers of the absolute truth. Om Gyana Timbaranjasya Gananjana Shalakya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmae Shri Gurave Namah Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padagam Shri Guru Vaishnavamstra Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatham Tambitam Tam Sachivam. Advaitam Savadutam Parijana Setam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Kamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorang Hey Radhe Vrindavaneshwe Vishubanu Sute Devi Panamami Arebe Panchakopa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnevo Namo Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So in this verse, Lord Krishna is continuing to speak to the gopis. And he is encouraging them that they should not abandon their families and their husbands. Which is perhaps a little bit confusing, because we know he is preparing to dance the rasa dance with these same gopis who are his most intimate lovers and consorts. So it seems a little contradictory. He's advising them to go back to their husband, and at the same time, he has an intention to perform this dance with them. So, when we understand this, we can see that Krishna is, of course, testing the gopis. We have so many students here. How many like tests? You like to take tests in school? Anyone like tests? You like a test. Wow, she's amazing. So most of us don't like to be tested. But Krishna loves to test us. He wants to know how good we are, how determined we are. What is our real intention? So he's testing the gopis. What do you really want? Do you want me? Or do you want a nice, comfortable family life? So he's telling him, oh, your husbands are ugly? You have to go back home. They're your husbands. Your husbands are mean to you? That's not good, but you still have to go home. Your husbands are not very intelligent, or they're poor? Doesn't matter, you still have to go home. But do they go home? No, they don't. Because they've transcended all these different rules. Because they're just completely attracted to Krishna. There's no question of anything else in their mind. They can't even think about anything else. It's only Krishna. So we have so many students here, and all day you're hearing about Krishna consciousness and related topics in school. So are you thinking all about Krishna every day? Raise your hands. Who's thinking about Krishna? Very good. A success of the school. Very good. And I'll ask another question. Since it seems to be mostly all girls, how many of you hope to get married one day? Or is that too far off? Nobody wants to get married. Wow, all brahmacharis and brahmacharinis. This is very good. Anyway, you get a little older, your mind may change. So here, we can see that Krishna is also giving some advice to those who are not on this platform of the gopis. What do you have to do? Should you be just finding some reason to run away from home on the plea of being attracted to Krishna? Or should you be doing your duties, performing your duties in life? And for the ladies, married ladies, is this too? Take care of the family, serve their husband, serve their family, and so many other related duties. And for the fathers, husbands, they also have so many duties to take care of the wife and family. Srila Prabhupada wrote many letters on this subject. In 1972, February, he wrote to Chaya Dasi, a woman's real business is to look after the household affairs and keep everything neat and clean. And then something a little, maybe we're not quite ready. If there is sufficient milk supply available, she should be always engaged in churning butter, making yogurt, curd, and so many nice varieties, simply from milk. Then later on he said, in August 72, he wrote another letter to Ganga Devi. He said, you may assist your husband very nicely by concentrating all your time and efforts in raising your child in full Krishna consciousness. That will require all of your attention. And in that way, you will be giving your husband the best assistance. Then, in another letter in September 72 to Sue Devi, he wrote, but if you do not assist him, your husband, and be very obedient to his welfare, then he may become disgusted and go away. So there must be mutual responsibility by both parties. Now that you are married, a married couple, there is no question of your separation. But you must both strive very hard to serve Krishna together in harmony. What is this nonsense emotion that caused you to go this way and that way. The real thing is your duty. Now you are a married couple, and you know what your duty is. So best thing is to perform your duty and always think of Krishna. Never mind some temporary inconveniences. We must remain steady in our duty to Krishna. So there are many, many letters Prabhupada wrote to his disciples in this regard. Because especially in the West, it seems we needed a lot of encouragement to stay together. Prabhupada often married his disciples, at least in the early days, in a way that was a little unconventional for the Western people. Like I myself, I was, I think in 1975, I happened to mention to one devotee, I asked him this question, do you think I should be married? As a friend, I just asked him that. 2 days later, the temple president said, I have a girl for you. She came down, we were introduced, we got to take prasadam together for a few weeks, and then the president said, now decide, are you going to marry or not? That's all it was. There was not much more to it than that. I had one friend at that time after they performed the legal ceremony, and he said, well, now that you're married, let's go out, my wife and I, and you and your wife, and we can just go to one place, have some ice cream, and just kind of, you know, talk. Temple president came in and said, you have not had your fire sacrifice yet. You cannot go outside of the temple together. Period. So these kind of rules and regulations were unknown, especially by us Western devotees. We freely associate with whoever we want. We go out on dates. We go out and find someone we think we're interested in and gradually develop a relationship. But that's not how Prabhupada was introducing us at that time. Yet he expected us to follow our duties. Now you're married, you must stick together. No leaving. No divorce. That was his plan. That's what he will ask us to do. To stay together. And it wasn't easy for many people to stay together. My wife and I have been married since 1975. And I personally always took it as that was Krishna's desire. Krishna has given me this wonderful woman as my wife, and I have no business breaking that arrangement. If Krishna gives you an arrangement, it's the best thing for you. There cannot be anything better you can hope for. So if we see our relationship like that, arranged by Krishna, then there's no question of separation. We perform a duty in service to Krishna. That simple. It may sound a little dry. It certainly doesn't sound romantic. Like they show in the movies, oh, he loves me, she loves me, and they're dancing around. Doesn't work like that. It may work like that, but that's superficial, because we know the modes of nature are up and down. Sometimes there's good days, and sometimes there are bad days. But when you get married, you stick together. And even sticking together, I know of people, a specific lady, she and her husband came to find one guru in ISKCON. After Prabhupada left, they met one guru, and they became very friendly and interested, and she became very enthusiastic to follow him. And she asked to become his disciple, but when that happened, the husband said, whoa, I'm not going to become disciple, I don't want to do that. So he never got initiated. She remained married her whole life, and in the end, very, very devoted, the follower of her guru, very Krishna conscious. And she left her body, and then her husband became interested and started practicing. So these principles of when to leave your husband are very deeply considered points. It's not like a rule. Oh, yes, my husband must be in Maya, I can leave. My wife is in Maya, I should leave. No. This has to be taken under very serious advisement from a very senior devotee who has the ability to see through your situation and advise you in a Krishna conscious way. Otherwise, you'll make a mistake. And if you make a mistake in Krishna consciousness, it's not good, because your life becomes very topsy-turvy. You cannot focus as the way you want to focus on Krishna consciousness, or you should be focusing as. We heard so many things. So Prabhupada, he actually said that at one time, young girls should get married as early as the age of 12. Interesting. We don't do that right at the moment, so. But, and they remain married their whole life. But Prabhupada said, if there is some problem, then if the husband or the wife goes away, then there's like, you know, there are children, and there's so many kids, and life becomes very difficult for everyone, for the children, for the wife, for the husband, whatever, very difficult. That's a very serious matter. Right now we have all these wonderful children here, and they are very interested and attracted to Krishna, which is a great thing, a very important thing. But if there are so many disturbances in their life, then they will be disturbed. They won't be able to focus. They will get the wrong idea. They may think, oh, this is what Krishna consciousness did to me. I don't like it. That's not the right idea, but when one's life gets very disturbed, they make the conclusions incorrectly. So married life, Prabhupada wrote in December of 1772, married life is serious business. If you take a wife, you must be completely responsible for her throughout your whole life. She will always serve and obey you without fail. So we have also different examples. We've read them and discussed them earlier, months ago. The wives of the Brahmins. Did Krishna expect them to leave their husbands? No. He sent them back. Any of the children know what Krishna did to the wives of the Brahmins? What did he say? Come to the forest and dance with me? Did he say that? No. No, he said, go back and stay with your husbands. It won't be good if you come out in the forest now. And they did that. And what happened to their husbands? Anyone remember when they went back? You know? The husbands then said, oh, we have made a big mistake. Krishna asked something from us and we didn't do it. This is bad. And they were very sorry that they didn't surrender to Krishna. So that was good, because the wives were giving them association. They encouraged their husbands to become devotees, to surrender to Krishna. And what about the Kaliya? Well, that's a difficult one. Anyone know who Kaliya is? Who is he? Ella? I couldn't hear that one. Somebody speak a little louder. Kaliya? Kaliya is the big snake who danced. Krishna danced on him, right? And Krishna danced on him till he was almost dead. So then who came to his rescue? Anybody know? His wives. They went before Krishna, and they were his devotees. And they begged Krishna to save his life. So So did Krishna say, okay, your husband was a demon, now you better leave him? No. Krishna told him, had them stay with the husband. And he became a devotee, gradually, of Krishna. Because he had, what did he have on his head? Anyone know? Yeah. The what? Footprints of Krishna, exactly. I bet we all wish we had the footprints of Krishna on our head, right? That would be very nice. So, different advisements at different places, different times, and one has to be very careful when applying these principles. Otherwise, one can make mistakes, and we all do make mistakes. And there is that wonderful verse in Bhagavad Gita 9:30. Any of the students know, or anyone know? Api chet sudaracharo bhajate. Excuse me. He says, even if one commits the most abominable action, if he is engaged in devotional service, he's considered saintly because he is properly situated in his determination. So it says, when a living entity is conditioned, he has two kinds of activities. So if we're in a conditioned state, means we're not a pure devotee, we have two types of activities we perform. One is conditional, and the other one is constitutional or spiritual. As for protecting the body and abiding by the rules of society and state, there are certainly different activities. And even for the devotees, in connection with conditioned life, there are so many activities. And such activities are called conditional. And besides this, the living entity who is fully conscious of his spiritual nature and is engaged in Krishna consciousness or devotional service of the Lord has activities which are called transcendental. Such activities are performed in his constitutional position, and they are technically called devotional service. Now, in the conditioned state, sometimes devotional service and conditional service in relation to the body will parallel one another. But then again, sometimes these activities become opposed to one another. So that means a person may have a very spiritual interest, but he may be doing some material activities that are very non-spiritual, he shouldn't be doing. So he's doing two opposite things at the same time. As far as possible, the devotee is very cautious, so he does not do anything that could disrupt his wholesome condition. He knows that the perfection in his activities depend on his progressive realization of Krishna consciousness. Sometimes, however, it may be seen that a person in Krishna consciousness commits some act which may be taken as most abominable, socially or politically. But such a temporary fall down does not disqualify him. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that such a person, if he falls down, but wholeheartedly engaged in the transcendental service of the Lord, is become the Lord being situated in his heart purifies him and excuses him from that abomination. The material contamination is so strong, even a yogi fully engaged in the service of the Lord sometimes becomes ensnared. But Krishna consciousness is so strong that such an occasional fall down is at once rectified. Therefore, the process of devotional service is always a success. Now Prabhupada gives us a personal instruction also. One should never deride, or means criticize, a devotee for some accidental fall down from the ideal path. As far as explained in the next verse, such occasional fall downs will be stopped in due course as soon as devotee is completely situated in Krishna consciousness. And the reason, Prabhupada goes on, is that therefore a person who is situated in Krishna consciousness and engaged with determination in the process of chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari, should be considered to be in the transcendental position, even if by chance or by accident he's found to have fallen. Sadur Eva means he is saintly. These are very emphatic words. They are a warning to the non-devotees that because of accidental fall down, a devotee should not be derided or criticized. He should be still considered saintly, even if he has accidental fall down. And then it's even more emphatic with the word mantavya. It means if you do not follow this rule, and if you criticize a devotee for his accidental fall down, then you will be disobeying the order of the Supreme Lord. So why do I bring in this verse? Well, because we're talking about someone who has fallen and following him. If he again becomes situated rightly, then that will be a great mistake to abandon such a person. And we see that does happen. People fall away, people make mistakes. But if they're, again, they become situated rightly. So it's very important that we don't criticize such persons unnecessarily. But again, the gopis are in a very high stage of love of Krishna. So they are above, they have only Krishna on their mind. They cannot think of anything else. That is the goal. And that is who Krishna is speaking to here, in addition to speaking to us. So let me stop here and ask, are there any questions? Yes, Trivikram Prabhu.
You kind of step aside from the purport to some degree. And I myself was thinking the way the purport was structured, you know what I mean? It seems a little out of Vedic Siddhantas. And yes. I notice you've taken a slightly different route, which is more Vedic, more Shastra conclusion, you know, Siddhanta.
I wouldn't say it's more Shastric. I said it's just a wider vision, doing make sure that we understand these things correctly. It's very possible we can make the wrong conclusion when we hear one part of the story, one part of the Shastric advice. That's why one requires a guru, how to apply these things. Because they're not, the guru means heavy. He's heavy with knowledge. He knows how to apply these things, when to apply, whether they apply to you. Just because we read something doesn't mean now we suddenly know what to do. Shastra has many words of advice, many instructions from Krishna. When to apply which ones for ourselves, that requires some expertise, some guidance. Yes, Hari Pranav. Oh, he wants to ask Trivikram a question. This is getting open discussion.
Well, for example, you know, he stated that the husband's supposed to be like the guru. And then he gave the analogy, a guru, if he's engaged in materialistic activities, he should be abandoned. But in a marriage situation, it's quite different, you know what I mean? A husband may make a slight deviation, like you were explaining, you know what I mean? If one commits an, you know, abominable act or something, it might be temporary, and he can be rectified, you see? And so it's not like this, the proper example with the husband, you know, being the head of the home or the, like the guru, and a guru, I mean, a spiritual master that gives initiation, is a little different. And then also he gave the other example in the Western society, women have been really exploited by men, and so the women have taken a different route, you know, and you know, I don't know if it, this is quite relevant here because...
Well, that says in the per part.
So I think the verse has the word apathaki. So the verse is saying that the husband, if he has not deviated from the religious principles, then whatever bad qualities he have can be has can be. So I don't think the purport is contradicting that, I think.
No. Purport is in full agreement with the verse.
And then the other thing about the Western men and women, I don't think the purport is condoning that in any way, it's just making an observation. There is no judgment one way or the other, it's just a neutral observation, I think.
You see, and I think that's a very extreme extreme step, and you know, within our society, we're not so interested in that kind of philosophy. You know, we're trying to follow the Vedic system of how Prabhupada set about for us. That's important.
Okay. Mukunda, you want to speak?
This is kind of a change of subject matter. It's very amazing thing because the whole 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is obviously very elevated subject matter. Acharyas have written a lot of things on it. One of the things that's very amazing is to try to understand how the gopis, their intensity of loving Krishna did not start the night of Ras Lila, but from the time that they were children, they had love. But during Kaliya Damana Lila, when Krishna chastised Kaliya, is when they became a little mature as girls. And so from that time, the Apurva Rag started. So we're talking now when maybe 4 or 5 years that they waited for this moment. Because prior to that time, they had never been able to meet directly with Krishna. So during the Vatsdraharan Lila, Krishna gave some promise. Now finally that thing has come. So now 4 or 5 years of intense loving desire, now they've appeared there, and now Krishna is giving all these different arguments about going home. So the Acharyas have called this Parokshvat. Parokshvat means like, or Sankhya Bhasya, like giving a hint about something, but not the real meaning. So Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur Pada is saying how Krishna is using this circumstance to now stoke the fire or increase even more the praying that the gopis have. So it will come to the height where they can actually begin to have deeper love, which is seems unimaginable, but that's actually what's happening. By this back and forth discussion, he's actually raising the praying of the gopis. And of course, even when they start, it'll still stop again because Radhika will leave. Then again, during Gopi Geet, their praying will go higher and higher. So this is a very, very amazing thing. And advisedly, Srila Prabhupada has written, especially disciples of Srila Prabhupada, Gopi Prandan Prabhu, Ridananda Maharaj, I think they did a nice job in quoting so many things from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. But of course, now we also have the opportunity of Sartha Darshini Tika, as well as many others. So many beautiful things written here. And if these things are understood, it will take away so many problems, so many lusty desires in our own heart, so many family problems. There won't be so much family problem, divorces, all these kind of things, because we won't be so self-absorbed. If we're self-absorbed, bound to be problems in this life. But if we become absorbed in these things, with aspiration, we cannot... There's two things. One is rasa tattva and one is rasa aswadan. Rasa tattva we should do. We should understand clearly what is ras. Rasa aswadan we may not be eligible. I can't speak for everybody. I know myself not. Rasa aswadan means to taste these things. We can't because no eligibility. But rasa tattva we should know. And if we understand these things, it'll be so inspiring to our practice, everything else.
Thank you. Anyone else have any comment? I know Radha Damodar Prabhu, he's been married for many, many years. You have any comment? All right, let's end here. Jaya, glory to Prabhupada, all glory to Srimad Bhagavatam.